I just wanted to start out this morning by just saying how blessed it is. What a blessing it is that we can come and we can gather into the house of God, a God who loves us. He loves us with so much love, and sometimes we can get more focused on what's going on in our lives, our circumstances. We have our ups and downs. We can get more focused on our failures, our struggles. But regardless of our ups and downs and regardless of our circumstances, one thing is constant, is that, and that's that we have a God that loves us, and His love is constant. His love for you is wonderful. I mean, it's just, it's hard to even describe the love that God has for us, His people. And every one of us is very special to the Lord. And we know that because He gave His life for us. So I don't know what you're bringing into the sanctuary, into the house of God today. You could be doing well. You also, some could be discouraged. Some can be going through some hardships. Maybe some of you have found out something recently, a health report or some news about a family member, and it's just weighing you down. You've come to the right place. You've come to the house of bread, a house of mercy. And God is merciful and compassionate. And I just wanted to remind you that He loves you and that He's for you and He's with you. One of the scriptures in the book of Psalms says, "As for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship towards your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face." And it's such a blessing that the psalmist, he describes that he had some situations he was dealing with. We don't know exactly who the enemies were, but he had a heavy heart. But he starts, in a sense, with that idea that I'm coming into your house and I'm looking for mercy. I need your mercy, God. I need your compassion. I need your help. And then he says, in respect, in fear of you, I respect you. You're my God, you're my creator. And I'm going to worship you with respect, regardless of what's going on in my life. And then he says, lead me. Lead me. Make my path straight. Make your way straight before my face. I need your direction. So just as the psalmist came with expectations, we come with an expectation that God is going to meet us right where we're at. And that God is going to do a work for us that we know that without Him, it's just impossible. And so I just wanted to start the service with encouraging you and reminding you that you have a great God that loves you. And even as it's recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 25, this is my prayer, so to speak, for you. And I know it's God's will for you. Peace be to you. Peace to your house and peace to all that you have. I pray that God's peace would rule and reign in our hearts today, and that we would leave here much better than when we came in. You know, all my years of studying the Word of God, I have truly come to believe with all my heart that God's intentions and His desires for us, they're nothing but good. Even God, He's speaking to His children in the Old Covenant, He said, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace." And there's no evil thoughts in God's heart towards us, but His thoughts are to give us a future and a hope. And I sincerely believe from studying the Scriptures that God does desire that you would live a life of faith that is prosperous, a life of faith that is categorized by success. This is something that God told Joshua. Right in the first chapter, I'll have you turn to Joshua chapter 1. He told him, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." The psalmist in Psalm chapter 1, he says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night." He tells us that the person who meditates in the word of God is like a tree planted by the streams of water, producing its fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. You know, God desires that we would progress in our spiritual journey. And it can't be any clearer than what he said, that that prospering, that success, that victory that I believe God desires for us to have is all an outflow or an outcome of being a person of the Word of God. As he says, studying the Scriptures to learn them for the purpose of obeying them. And I'm so blessed that each one of you are here. I believe that this is why we gather together as the children of God. We gather together because we love the Lord. And he knows that we're not perfect. He knows that we have our weaknesses, we have our shortcomings, at times we have our lapses of faith. But at the core of who we are, because we've come to personally know Jesus Christ, we love God and we are changed people. We are changed people. And so he desires for us to live, and I'm going to use the words victorious or successful or prosperous lives. I'm going to use those words interchangeably. Now, I believe when it comes to living God's way, which is radically different than the world's way, living God's way is radically different than what my natural tendencies are. It's very different than my way. And because I want to do God's will and you want to do God's will, you will find that there comes times when there are barriers to do God's will. And they don't stop. At different times, you're confronted with different barriers. Now, God wants you to enter into the land of victory, of spiritual progress and spiritual victory, and he will help you through it. He'll help you through the barrier to get to that point of whatever new circumstance or new challenge comes. You'll be able to break through the barriers. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about breaking through the barriers. Breaking through the barriers. And I believe that the barriers, they're there. The different walls that are like in Joshua's, and I want to have you turn to Joshua chapter 6, because I believe in Joshua chapter 6, there are other places in the scripture, but Joshua chapter 6 lays out some principles for how we are to progress forward in this journey of faith and breaking through the barriers that come. Now, there are barriers that are there because we live in a fallen world. And sometimes a barrier, because I like to look at the scriptures in the Old Testament, as Paul says, that everything that's written in the Old Covenant is there for our education. It's for our learning, so that we can take biblical principles, and being new covenant believers, we can take the biblical principles of the Old Testament and apply them to our journey of faith, being new covenant followers of Christ. And so there are different barriers that come up, and a lot of those barriers, because we are on a spiritual journey in the sense of we're walking and desiring to seek after the things of the Spirit. We no longer have an interest in the things of the flesh, and it's a battle, but our new man, now that we're born again and we're a new creation, we desire to grow spiritually and go from victory to victory and to overcome. But these barriers that pop up can be things like unforgiveness or an extreme hurt that starts to become like a barrier for us to be able to really experience the goodness of God. It becomes a distraction. You know, we live in a fallen world, and remember, Jesus, he said, in this world you will have tribulation. And so there are things that come up that offend us, they hurt us, and yet we're called to overcome. We're called to be victorious and to be prosperous over these things and to excel and to break through the barriers. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we find ourselves in real dark places. And so how do we have consistent progression, consistent growth during those times when it's just been difficult and it doesn't seem like there's anything in the horizon that promises any good? And so there are five things that I think that we need to consider when we're thinking about breaking through barriers. Now, some of us, we do these things not really understanding, but we do the right thing, and so we experience the right results. Because even though we might not be able to identify these five things, we're still practicing them. And because we're practicing them and we understand them, we have success. But there are some who just, you really don't know how to move from point A to point B. Being a child of God, there are certain things that happen along the journey, and as a result, you feel defeated, or you become where you're in a constant state of just mediocrity, and there's just no real sense of I'm progressing in my journey of faith, and you've come to believe that maybe this is it. Well, I'm here to tell you it's not. God has so much more for us. God has so much more for us. And remember, the reason why the Lord saved you, the reason why he called you, bottom line, I mean, ultimately it's for you to know him, to have fellowship with him, but also to be salt and to be light and to be a representative of Christ. That you would be a beacon, so to speak, of his light to those around you. And that you would bring glory to God no matter what situation that you find yourself in. That you would bring glory to God. And so there are certain things that we must understand. And as we understand them, it's like lights turn on and they help us to be able to continue to persevere and to break through barriers so that way we can bring greater glory to God as we are journeying through this life of faith and waiting for his glorious appearing. Now I want to just read to you a few scriptures and we'll look at, let's just begin in verse 1 of Joshua chapter 6, and let's read the first two verses here. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its kings and the mighty men of valor. Now, it's no secret that the land and the people who were inhabiting the land that God had given to the nation of Israel, they were much stronger, way more powerful than the nation of Israel. And without God's help, there would be have been no way that the children of Israel and Joshua would have had any kind of victory. They needed to rely upon God's direction. They needed to follow closely and obey the word of God. And as they did, God was with them, giving them victory over victory over victory. And I believe that as we are God's children, God has given us, even as it says here in verse 2, the Lord said to Joshua, "See, look, look, I have given Jericho into your hands, its kings, and its mighty men of valor." And I believe just as Joshua was given or equipped to be able to go and to conquer with the children of Israel, those who are even more powerful than they, I believe the same thing is true of us being sons and daughters of God. And here's the first thing. Just as God equipped them, God has equipped us. God has equipped you. When you became born again, you were equipped for success in the things of God. Now, understand, I'm not talking about worldly success and financial wealth. I'm not talking about prosperity. Don't even think that I'm even thinking along those lines. To me, biblical prosperity and biblical success and biblical victory is continuing or constant growth in spiritual things and overcoming ourselves and overcoming the things of this world, overcoming our sinful nature, and growing and reflecting more the image of Christ or the purposes of Christ. That's what I see as spiritual victory. That is really truly doing the will of God consistently and growing and never quitting. Never giving up, no matter how hard it gets. And you are equipped to succeed by your new birth. You have been, by your new birth, equipped to overcome. I can tell you this with great confidence because of what Peter tells us. I'll have you turn there. This is 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter tells us this in verse 3. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Did you catch that? His divine power has given us everything that we need. When we became born again, here Peter tells us He has given to us all things that pertain to life. That is, this life and living a spiritual life in this world, living a life of godliness. And so you have been equipped to succeed. And this is the most important thing. You have to see that God has equipped me. He enables me to be able to overcome anything. Any obstacle, any kind of barrier, any walls, I can get over this with God's help. And so that's the first thing that's so important to see. God has equipped me. By my very new birth, I am equipped to be able to overcome. Now, the second thing, look at verse 3 in Joshua chapter 6. He says, "You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once." Now, to me, that sounds excellent. I mean, if I was Joshua and God told me, "Hey, man, I've given Jericho into your hands, all the kings, all the men of war," I mean, that sounds great. It's like, praise God. You know, God has given me not only the city, but now He tells me to do something that seems just very simple. And He says, "I want you to march around the city, all the men of war, and I just want you to go around the city once." Up until that point, for me, that's perfect. I can do that. Could you imagine that there was at least 40,000 armed men, and that was just of the tribe of Gad, Reuben, and Ephraim, I believe. It was about 40,000 men of war just with that clan. That doesn't include all the other tribes. In the book of Numbers, I believe there is a census that took place that tells us that there was over 600,000 men of war from the nation of Israel. But here in Joshua, let's just say conservatively that just 40,000 of the armed soldiers went around the city once. I would think, boy, that would be extremely intimidating to those people that are living inside of because they were scared. They lost their spirit, and the text tells us that when the children or the people of the land heard that the children of Israel had crossed over the Jordan and that it was God who gave them the ability to cross over the Jordan, it says that they were just basically discouraged in their hearts and they had lost their spirit. It said they had no spirit within them. They were discouraged and disabled. And it's always important also to remember that you and I, there is an enemy out there, but he's a disabled enemy. He really is. He's got like a big bark, but no teeth. You know, the Bible tells us that we have this kind of power inside of us, and it's a divine power, but we have the ability to submit ourselves to God and to resist the devil, and he flees from us. That's power. So the devil, really, the adversaries of our souls, they're defeated. And so here, these people were defeated already. And then imagine 40,000, at least 40,000 men of war walking around the city. If I was Joshua, I'd think, yeah, that sounds good. That's really intimidating. I'd be all for that. But then he says, this you shall do 6 days. Then it starts to get a little funny. Why do this 6 days? And there's no answer. But it says, do this 6 days. Say, all right, God, if this is what you want. I mean, I don't know what the circumference of the city was. I don't know if it was miles that they were walking. But, all right, if this is what you want, God. God could have helped them break through the barrier the first day, couldn't he? There's nothing too difficult for him. But he says, I want you to walk around the city once a day for 6 days. Then, on the seventh day, I want you to go around the city 7 times. So a total of 13 times. Now, to me, it starts to get a little bit more, that's different. I mean, I didn't have a problem you saying you've given them into my hands, just go around one time. I was cool with that, but now 13 times going around a city? Boy, that's tiring, especially as, you know, on the seventh day, I mean, 7 times. What's my point? Once you understand that God has equipped you, it's so important to also understand that God does things different. God does things different. God does not do things the way I think he should. There's so often, there's been so many different things that I've gone through, and in my mind, I thought it was going to go a certain way, and it didn't go the way I thought it would. And sometimes, I really think my way is better. Have you ever felt like, man, my way is, this is not good. Right now, it doesn't look good. I could think of a lot easier ways than this, a lot better ways. But I've come to learn this about God, and this is the second principle, is that God's ways are different. God does things very different than the way we naturally think. And listen to what it says. In verse 4, it says, and 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. Now, if I were men of war, I would be thinking, what are the priests doing here? These guys are going to be the first ones to get pegged off, you know? and then they have horns. I mean, what are they going to do? You know, right in the enemy's face? This does not make any sense. Boy, this is different. And then it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall flat down, and the people shall go up every man straight before him. Now, to me, that makes no sense whatsoever. It doesn't. Just by shouting, the walls are going to come down, the barrier is going to break. And so, again, it's so important to understand that God's ways are different. Look what it's the Lord in the book of Isaiah. You can turn to Isaiah chapter 55. And in Isaiah chapter 55, in verse 8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord." And then listen to what he says here. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Think of the last time you were in an airplane. And you look down, and while you're flying up in the air, you look down and everything starts to get real small. But there comes a point where you can't see people. You can't see them. They're there, but you just can't see them. And then cars, you see them moving, but then there comes a point where you don't see cars. It just looks like landmass. And then there comes a point you just don't see anything. You get above the clouds. You can't see anything. I mean, think about what God is saying. He says, as the heavens are higher, so high above the earth, so my ways are so much higher than your ways. So even though God's ways are different, and even though I may not understand them, I have to understand this, that God's ways are so much better than my ways, even if it doesn't make sense to me at the time. They're so much better. And I don't have a problem with that. I've come to the point in life where I really have no problem with God's ways being different and understanding that God's ways are so much better, because it would really be a bummer if I served a God that I could figure out. You know, if God was just like me, then I wouldn't want to serve him. But knowing that God's ways are so much greater and that he can do things that I can't even imagine. And there's been so many times when God has led me to do things, and at the time it just didn't make any sense whatsoever. And now looking back, it's like, it is amazing. You know, just a personal thing. Several years ago, the Lord challenged me. And he challenged me to resign from a position that I was working, and I mean, it for many people would be a dream job. And let me tell you, it was not an easy decision. But at that time, for conscience sake, the Lord gave me a peace and a release, and bottom line, it boiled down to, I felt the impression of, you can have a job, or you can follow me. That's what it boiled down to. And at the time, four children, mortgage, the place of worship, and there was a lot involved in that decision. And I'm not patting myself on the back, I'm just giving you an example. That does not make sense. You know, there's a lot at stake. And at the time, it didn't make sense. And I had no idea that that would be my last day there. And I had no idea what my future held. But now, 12 years later, looking back, I say, God, your ways are so much higher than my ways. Your ways, I could have never imagined what you had in mind. And the plan, the way that you brought me through that, I would not wish that on anybody. I wouldn't, but God chose a path that there was some real tough barriers to break through. And the barriers really were inside. They were, am I going to trust him? To me, it's like the Lord saved me when I was 19 and I had nothing really. And he's blessed me. Now, even though there's more responsibility that I had, it makes me think that the same God that saved me when I was 19 is the same God who's with me now. And though the stakes are higher, can I trust him? Can I trust him that he's going to take care of me just as he's been taking care of me? You know, we might think we're taking care of ourselves, but God does call us to be responsible. But ultimately, if you're God's child, he's responsible for you, and he's the one taking care of you. And so I look back and I say, God, your ways are different. I would have never chosen that path, but looking back, your ways are great. You are so good. And so that's something that everyone has to understand. God's ways are different. If you expect God to be the way you are, then you're in for some real slow progress. You can be equipped. You can have everything you need to succeed. But because of the way you view God, it limits your potential. If you view God in a very small view, then you limit your potential. God is so much bigger, so much greater. And you have to understand that you serve a great God that can do much more. As the scripture says, he can do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or even think. And the reason why God does things different is because he wants us to depend on him. And that's the third thing. And God's equipped us. His ways are different. And the reason why his ways are different is because it requires faith. And God requires faith. The scripture tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so this is why it's so important to understand God's ways are different, but they're different because it helps me. If I see and I understand how God works through processes, it helps me to rely upon him and to know that it sounds difficult, that doesn't make any sense. And I'm not saying that God is reckless. I'm not saying, please don't misunderstand. But we see it in the text. It didn't make any sense. And some could even say, well, this is dangerous. Because we're just like flying ducks or just sitting ducks, you know, walking around the city. People from the wall can peg us off, hit us with arrows, catapults. But they didn't have to worry because they were already disabled and disarmed. And so it requires faith. Now, let's look at verse 6. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, really it's Nun. If you look it up, it's Nun. It's not Nun like a priest and a nun. It's Nun. Can you say it? Nun. It's not noon, it's Nun. Now watch, you look it up and you'll see it's pronounced differently. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord. So it was, when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout. You know how hard that had to be to stay quiet? That had to be, for me, it thinks, you know, I think that had to be so difficult because a part of me would be wondering, all right, we've gone six days and nothing's happened. Now we're on the seventh day. We've gone once and we got six more rounds. How many of you go jogging? You ever jog? You know, I'll jog or walk around my block and I think to myself, you know, if I go four times, I think if I go four times, I might, you know, hit my 10,000 steps. After the first time, I'm already thinking, man, maybe I should just do three now and do one later. And then after I do two, I'm thinking, I should just quit right now. These guys were going around in circles, and they won. Went around once, and then twice, and then three times. And then they couldn't talk about it. They couldn't say anything. Hey, man, I'm tired. You know, I'm sure they're the human factor. And they had to exercise great discipline in keeping their mouths shut. You know, some of us have to exercise great discipline in keeping our mouths shut. When God's working, we got to learn how to keep our mouth shut. Sometimes we start doing this when God says, psst, don't do that. It's not the right time. You just wait and keep your mouth shut. And then shout for joy when the right time comes. And then when the right time comes and God does the blessing, we don't got to think, oh, man, you know, 3 days ago I was complaining, and if I would have just kept my mouth shut, God was going to bless me, and I had no idea. I mean, I wasn't believing it. I didn't know how it was going to work out. But anyway, that's not a point. That's just a side note. So that had to be very difficult for them. So he had, verse 11, the ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. Then seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpet, and the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord while the priests continued blowing the trumpet. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp, so they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city seven times in the day in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city seven times. And the seventh time it happened when the priests blew the trumpets that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now, up until this point, there was no sign of anything, but now is the time for them to shout. And we understand that the scriptures tell us that when they did shout, the walls came tumbling down. But the fourth thing is this, and this is super important, because generally when you're progressing through barriers and God is leading you through barriers, you know, it certainly does require faith. But as you get closer to the victory, things get more and more intense. And there's two critical times when you're facing victory, when you're facing breakthrough. It's right before and right after. There are two critical times, and people don't understand this, and because they don't understand these things, they never experience breakthrough. Because things start to get more and more intense. You would think things get easier and easier, but things don't get easier and easier before breakthrough. Things get more and more intense, more and more difficult. You know, they walked around the city once a day for 6 days, but as they were getting closer to breakthrough, they walked around. God had them walk around the city seven times. I'm sure that had to be more intense, more difficult. It would be much easier to want to complain after the sixth time, which would be 12 times. I mean, I'd be complaining. And so it's so important to understand that before breakthrough comes, right when you're getting close, Things get more intense. And this is where most people just give up. It's like, this can't be the Lord. It's getting harder. It can't be the Lord. Yes, it can. It's a principle that so often things get harder before victory comes. Think about Jesus dying on the cross. Right before his crucifixion, he went in the garden, and that was intense. And as he was facing crucifixion, things didn't get easier. As victory was coming, things got tougher. And that's the same thing for us. But if we break through the intensity and we hang on in faith, we experience a victory, and it's exactly what happened. Look at verse 20. It says, "So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." And so just as God had said, even though they couldn't see anything happen until they were faithful to follow through with everything that God said, and as they were faithful to follow through with everything that God said, as they were getting closer to the victory, it got more intense, but they persevered. They didn't quit. They hung in there. Then they were able to break through. Now, after the breakthrough is also a very critical time, and we'll close with this. Because after victory, always, it seems like, I shouldn't say always, but oftentimes, there's temptation after victory. There's temptation, and there's even, I don't want to say opportunity, but there is the possibility of compromise after victory. It's because things get so intense, and then you feel, praise God, and you're so happy that sometimes you still need to be on guard. And sometimes people, they kind of lose the sense of, you know what, I don't want to get overexcited here. God's brought victory, and I've broken through, but I have to keep my eyes fixed on the Lord and on nothing else. And the reason why I say this is because look at what is said here in verse 17. "Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction." Let's go ahead and move to verse 18. And he says, "And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things, and you make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord, so they shall come into the treasury of the Lord." See, there was a lot of opportunity after breaking in or breaking through the barrier. There was a lot of opportunity for them to advance or to benefit personally. And you know, one thing that God does is when he gives us victory, he wants us to give him glory. And there's often compromise that comes after victory. And so these are two points in the journey of breaking through barriers that you and I have to be careful of, right before victory and then right after. Now, I wonder how many of you are facing some kind of wall or dealing with some kind of barrier, maybe an issue of the heart. And God has been speaking to you and saying, "Hey, I want you to just trust me. I've equipped you. Trust me, I know this is different. Maybe God might be challenging some of you. Hey, you're in an occupation that I've allowed you to do this for a certain time, but now I'm calling you out of that, and I want you to trust me." Maybe it could be something that you're facing. You're going to be seeing somebody that you haven't seen in a while, and all of these heart issues are coming up. And you're like, "I'm not even going to go," but you're supposed to, you should be there. And God, he's challenging you to break through the barrier of unforgiveness or hurt or bitterness. Or maybe something's happened a while ago, but you keep hanging on to it, hanging on to it, and hanging on to it. And God says, "You know what? There was a time for grief, there was a time, but now it's a time to move forward. I don't want you to be stunted here and stay there. That's not what I designed for you." It's time to let go. It's time to move forward and progress in your journey of faith. And so for you, it's a barrier. Know that God has equipped you. You are equipped to overcome. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation, and you are equipped to overcome. It might be different. The way that God is telling you to do something, it might be different than the way you would do it, and so it challenges you, and your natural reaction is, no, I don't want to do this. It might be hard for you. But nevertheless, you know it's God's will, and it's biblical. And it's going to require faith. It's going to require you to have faith. And remember, you know, you might not see victory instantly. That's what we want. We often want immediate results, but that's not how it often is with God. That's the whole building faith process. And as you're waiting on the Lord and you're being faithful to do what God tells you each day, and you're waiting for the Lord to bring you breakthrough and to help you through whatever the situation is, remember, as you get closer to breakthrough, it gets more intense and it gets more difficult. So next time you're facing that, remember, this is a part of the process. Now is not the time to quit. I must be super close. Hang in there. And then God is going to give you the breakthrough. But remember, keep your eyes on the Lord. Because it's so easy. There's temptations around to try to get our eyes off of the Lord, and we can compromise. When God gives you breakthrough, it's for you to keep growing and moving forward and progressing forward in your journey of faith to bring Him glory, not to compromise and to settle for less. So remember these things. And God will give you the strength and the ability to overcome. Remember what Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the Lord your God is your strength. He is your peace, and He will never leave you nor forsake you, because you belong to Him and He loves you, and you are precious in His sight, and God's genuinely desires for you to grow, and He's here to help you through the process. Guys, remember the announcements. If you came in after the announcements were shared, I shared them earlier today. Look through your bulletins. You can go online or go to the information table if you have any announcements. And also remember that there is a very important meeting today after service for anyone who's involved with Vacation Bible School, and it's in the teen room. So we want to encourage you to go ahead into the teen room. I'm going to pray, and the worship team is going to lead us in a closing song, and then you'll be dismissed. But Father, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you so much for how you encourage us through your word. We thank you for your peace. And Lord, I pray for any and every soul here. I thank you so much that you have brought us together to worship you and to honor you and to serve you, to hear your word and to be built up in the faith. I pray, God, that you would watch over my brothers and sisters and encourage them, and that in their moments of trial and temptation, that you would strengthen them and by your Spirit remind them of your word, and that they would purpose in their hearts to do your will and to experience your saving power. Because Jesus, you didn't only save us, we were lost and you saved us from going to hell, but you deliver us every day. Every day you are faithful. As we cry out to you, you hear our cries, and you deliver us from our daily struggles. And we thank you, and we give you all glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.